never get to the place that you're beyond it, because that's when you'll need it the most. Praise God. Let's open up with Hebrews. I'll read a scripture and then we'll pray. Amen. I want to thank the pastor. He gives me opportunity to minister, and it's just great. And the Lord has put something on my heart for us, especially for this new year. I've got a little bit of a series, so I've got two or three Wednesdays here, so I want to use them. But Hebrews 6, therefore, leaving elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of instruction about washing and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we shall do if God permits. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to move on to maturity. We want to press in and move on, Father. We want to just continue. We want to go to different levels, Lord. We want to move into the things of the Spirit. We want everything that you have for us, we want it manifested and present in this year, O God. Father, we thank you for what you're doing here at Grace, O God. We thank you for the vision. We thank you for the direction. We thank you for the word, Father, that we've got for increase. We thank you, Lord, and we want to press in towards the things that you have for us. If you permit, God, I know it's your will. Holy Spirit, we're asking that you begin to manifest these things in this place, in this church, in these believers, that we can take it from here like they did in Jerusalem, Father, into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. But let it start here. Let us grow here into maturity, Father, not being shaken. Firmly established. Holy Spirit, move in us tonight. Us, right here, just us. We're here. Holy Spirit, change us. Change our direction. For those that are seeking a word and a vision, Father, reveal it tonight in their spirit. Bring them a word, Father. Like Pastor said, it will change you. It will just excite you. It will move you. The word will become more alive. There'll be something that you want to look up again, something you want to study through again. Change us with your word tonight. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Holy Spirit, speak to us individually and corporately, Father. We pray for that a corporate anointing, that corporate blessing that will come on Grace, O God. That unity, Father, that we're able to do everything that you put before us, nothing can stand before us that we can't accomplish and go for in Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to tell you, I come on Monday nights and I realize Pastor has an anointing to pray. He has an anointing to pray. I go to pray for something, he's already on it, in it, through it, and finishing it up. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. So I've learned just to agree. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, something is established. And if he's going to pray it, I'm going to agree with it, and it's mine. Hey, right? I'm telling you, he's got an anointing to pray. He covers everything. I go to think about something, and even then, if the Lord puts something in my spirit, and I'll say it to myself over here, next thing I know, he's praying it. It is just amazing. Monday nights is just great. Praise God. I want to show you something here. Well, I just read 1 through 3, but I want to show you something here the Lord showed me, and he gave me the scripture to open up with. And these are the kind of things I want to share. My series is Strong in Spirit. We're going to talk about being strong in spirit. Amen. It's time we become strong in spirit. Amen. And I know a lot of us, you know, I learned something about what if we constantly proclaim something and don't do anything, we move into a realm in our thinking and in our believing that we're actually doing those things and we're not. It is self-deception. Because we talk about it so much, we think we do it, but we don't. I know a lot of men can tell you how they should treat their wives, but when you get in living in with her, they're not communicating. They're not doing it. But they talk about it a lot, so they think they're doing it. I fall into that category. Sometimes I think about something so much that I think I've told my wife, and I haven't. I want to show you. So we're going to be talking about being strong in spirit, because it's a time that we need to be strong in spirit.
Yes,
it is a time that we need to be strong, especially not only just because of the economy, but for this church and where we're going. People come in here, they're coming in here hurt, and I'm going to tell you what, they're going to hook up with people who are strong. Because they're going to feel the security, they're going to feel the firmness. I mean, when we're standing in agreement, something's going to be established. You know, when we speak something and everybody, and you get 10 people say amen, whoever's sitting here doubting, they're going to say, wait a minute, there's got to be something to this because everybody's agreeing. And it's established, and it's established in their spirit, man. Because we're strong in spirit. It's infectious. Okay, I'm going to show you something here. Let's just read on here a couple of scriptures here. This is, I mean, I've read this Bible, but I hit this and I told my wife, I said, listen to this. So we're having a church at home before I came. Okay, and this we shall do if God permits. For in the case of those who have been once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. We can taste of the powers of the age to come.
Come on,
we can taste of those powers of that age that's coming today, now.
Come on.
You know, in God there is no time. The Bible says you must be born again so that you can enter the kingdom and see the kingdom. You know, in the kingdom there's no time. In the kingdom, when you enter into the kingdom, you're entering into a place where you already are in Christ, where you were, where you're going and who you are. And when I go into the kingdom and I look into the kingdom, I see me completely whole, completely wealthy, completely strong. And when I get into that realm, because it happens in the spirit realm first, I begin to call those things that are not as though they were. And I begin to reach in and take what's mine and bring it and manifest it into this time, because I'm in this time. So I go into the kingdom to get what's mine and bring it back into now. Does that make sense? That's what the Bible tells us we can do. If we can taste of the powers of the age to come, if we can taste them, that means we have them. You can't taste them if you don't have them. That's strong in spirit. We need to get to that place. Okay. Being strong in spirit. Do I have to? We go to church with people. Do I have to? Think about it. I talk to people all the time. Yeah, but do we have to? Can't we just, I mean, I'm happy just the way I am. Does not rock the boat. It seems we live in a day when Christians pay little attention to the need to grow strong in the spirit. At the same time, we're focusing on health kicks and exercising programs. And although that's beneficial, let's leave what the Word says. 1 Timothy 4:8. Now, I don't have an outline. I'm not so much a teacher like Pastor, so he always has an outline. I'm going to try to have an outline next week because I'm going to teach like 8 keys to being strong in the Spirit. So I'm going to try to have something, but if I don't, I won't. But you need to write it down anyway. You need to bring your Bibles. You need to have a piece of paper and a pen. You need to write them down, and then you can read them later. But 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, which includes physical discipline, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It also seems that some churches are oriented to speak to the weakness of believers as though it's okay. And it's God's expectation for us to stay baby-like. But here at Grace, we would encourage believers to grow strong and to be individually people who are able to face situations in their lives without failing.
Amen.
2 Peter.
Hallelujah.
2 Peter 1. One through 11. I'm going to read some scriptures.
Good.
The Word. Nothing but the Word.
Simon
Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, when we read these scriptures, I want you to really start to realize the things that are being said about being strong in spirit. Because that's what we want to learn. We want to learn about being strong in spirit and abundantly above more than you could think or ask. I really want you to begin to thinking spiritually. Is that possible? Is that for today? Is that for me? Am I that? That's the way I read it. Can I have this? Can this be mine? Can I walk in this today? Is this really true? Can I start doing this? Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, his glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature.
Come on.
Okay, now wait a minute. Are we getting too holy here? Are we getting too godlike? I can walk around like Jesus did. He had a divine nature.
Come on.
I can do, the Bible says I can do the things he did and greater. But we're afraid that, oh, no, wait a minute, you're slipping off into being too holy, too fanatical, too crazy. And then we begin to think, well, no, that's only going to come when I've got a glorified body.
Come on. Come on.
But we can taste of the powers
yeah.
of the age to come. See, you see where I'm going here?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to take someone who's strong in spirit. Because the minute, I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy hates you. He's afraid you're going to wake up and realize just who you really are. That you are a tent and a vessel that the Holy Ghost lives in, that Jesus lives in, and you can do anything.
Come on. Come on.
And he will bring an onslaught against you. The minute you start to move into tithing and giving and offering and abundant stuff, he's going to hit your finances. Your dishwasher's going to break. Your car's going to break down. Your house might catch fire. He's going to try to attack your finances. He is. It's what he does.
He's a devil.
I think we're going to call him devil from now on. We'll give him a name, Beelzebub, split tooth or split hoof or whatever you want to call him. My Lord, that we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped. Now, watch this. This, I want you to realize, because I'm, you know, I like to say I'm strong in spirit, but there's times when I'm not strong in spirit. I succumb to the onslaught of the enemy. Here we go again. I start saying things I don't want to say. I start thinking things I don't want to think, and I have to wait a minute, that's not who I am. So I understand this, but we got to be careful we don't stay there. We just got to keep going. Okay, that's not who I am. This is who I am. We got to change it. Okay, so now, knowledge of him who calls, escape the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Now, that, you know, okay, well, I fail at about 6 out of 8 here. I mean, I'm trying, and but in order to be strong in spirit, I've got to be putting these things into practice, because they are going to develop you. They're going to cause you. Now watch this. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, okay, that means that you may not have them all. I may be working well in long suffering, but you know, there's some people I'm not loving properly or whatever. I mean, I have my pet peeves that I'm working through, and but I'm increasing. I am increasing. But I want you to know, yes, I don't want us to get, okay, I'm increasing, and then say, well, I'll back off a little bit. I want you to increase with fervency. I want you to attack that problem that you're having, if it's unforgiveness or not loving the right way or long suffering. I want you to attack that and overcome it, because it says we can.
Yeah.
At least that's what I'm trying to do too. Even though we all fall into that category where we mess up, let's not stay there. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. It is the unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, up here we read that where we get the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can walk in the divine nature. And if we possess these things, then it won't hinder us from walking in the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Because you realize, see, here's what the devil does. We're still thinking about our former sins.
Come on.
Yet, we've been made perfect.
Come on now.
You may not feel like you're perfect, and you may do some things that may you make you look like you're not perfect, but Jesus don't look at you that way. He sees you complete and whole and perfect. He sees you not only have your sins been removed, you never did them. They're that far gone. That's who you are. You mean I never sinned? No. You ain't going to find a record of it. There's not a documentation of it. There's only one person that tries to cause you to remember them, and that's the devil. And we fall to that, and then we think we're not worthy to walk in our anointing or in the divine nature, and then therefore we don't. Because this is what happens. The minute something happens to you, the minute your car breaks down when it shouldn't or your money is going, you think, okay, what did I do to deserve this? This is my consequences coming to get me. And when you think that way, then you just wait for the next time. And as a matter of fact, you live a life expecting it. You live a life expecting something's going to break. That's not the life of a Christian.
Come on.
Our word for Sunday was expectant. Prepare expectantly of the blessing that's going to, he's commanded to chase us down. Not the thing that, when something breaks down, it's the enemy. I'm telling you, when we went to Bible college, we had to pray over everything we owned for it to keep going because we didn't have money to buy anything new. We prayed over our vehicles. I mean, I believe we prayed long-lasting dishwashers and garbage disposals and washing machines. And come on now. So it says here that if you lack these qualities, you're short-sighted, you've forgotten your purification from former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about this calling and choosing you. Let me read it again. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Ooh, that's a work cut out for you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Now, did he just lay something out there that we'll never achieve or we shouldn't even try because, you know what, I'm just a sinner saved by grace and can't wait till glory comes. And even so, come quickly, Lord. Take me away. Really, the picture is this. And this is what I'm talking about being strong. Really, the picture is this. Who am I in Christ?
Come on.
Who am I in Christ? Man, I can part waters. I can pray and raise the dead. I can pray and finances are mine, blessings are mine. I mean, Pastor said, you know, God could speak to the mountains and just refill all the oil wells, all the mountains with gold. He's going to release that to me. That's who I am. I want that now. Why? Because he says, I've given you the ability to gain great wealth that you may establish my covenant in the earth. Right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
Come on.
If we're not thinking that way, we need to start. And this is about being strong in the Spirit, because we're going to talk about... I'm going to read scriptures. I'll probably double up on scriptures. But, I mean, you're not too old. You're not too young. This isn't, you know, this is being strong in the Spirit. We're going to talk about Caleb, who was 85 years old. He says, I am just as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. Elijah was a man just like us who prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years.
Come on.
I fall into the trap of living from paycheck to paycheck.
Come on.
That I can't do anything until my next paycheck. Wait a minute.
Come on.
Okay. Let's go on here. Listen to Paul's words to Timothy. And the reflection of what was expected of the believers in the early church. 2 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, grace, the ability to do what you're not able to do. Okay? You weren't able to save yourself. God graced you, and you now have the ability to be saved. The ability to do what you're not able to do. Be strong in the grace. See, it's not your strength. It's His grace. And He lives in you. That's grace. And that power is resident in you. And you know what? The reason we go through classes and we have all these things is we don't want to get you oriented into our church so much as we want you to get you oriented in who you are in Christ.
Right.
Okay? And then the unity comes. See, the unity comes. We're unified because of Christ.
Right.
Not because we do one thing all the same. We're different. There's different things. But the unity of Christ, and when we become who we are in Christ, the Holy Spirit brings it into unity. If you're going to walk in your gift, and you walk in your gift, and you walk in your gift, I guarantee you it's going to be all for the believers that when we come together. He doesn't do anything that's confusion. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. You know, when you start reading about being a soldier and you know, going into battle, and it tells us to be a good soldier, I mean, it's a fight. You're in a fight. And here's what happens. I've been doing this for so long. I'm just abiding my time. I just want to retire. I want to get to that place in Tennessee and Kentucky. If you go there and strong in spirit. Okay, if God's calling you there and that's where you're going, that's fine. We're not talking about you can't retire and leave here. Go where God's taking you and go and be blessed, but be strong in spirit there and find out what the Holy Ghost is doing there and be involved. I mean, just think, if you're raising the dead, it doesn't matter where you go. Go there and raise the dead. Empty out the hospitals. I mean, John G. Lake did it in the state of Washington. They closed down hospitals because there weren't enough sick people to keep them open. What a problem to have. Sorry if you work at the hospital or you're a nurse or something, you lose your job, but get baptized in the Holy Ghost, start raising the dead, and do that too. I mean, if I was a nurse and had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'd find me a hospital where I could lay hands on people. Mm-hmm. Say, sorry, your patient went home, doc. I don't know. I was taking care of her, and all. She went and left. She said she didn't hurt no more, and she was going home. She was healed. Sorry. Well, how come is it when you were working with me, and I've lost 6, 7, 8 patients because they all got healed and went home? Well, that's why I became a nurse, so I could heal the sick.
Amen.
Praise God. That's the way I think. Okay, there's another one here, 2 Timothy 4. Paul's talking to Timothy. And you know what? So, do you read this? Oh, well, that was Timothy. Oh, Paul's talking to Timothy. Did your Bible say that these men wrote this as the Holy Spirit led them?
Absolutely.
Right? For what? For us, come on. So this is really the Holy Spirit's talking to Timothy here, right?
Right.
Through Paul, but the Holy Spirit's the one that's talking to Timothy, right?
Absolutely.
And he's no respecter of persons, is he?
No.
So that means if he's talking to Timothy and charging Timothy to do something, he's pretty much charging us to do the same thing.
Come on.
That's why it's written down for us, that we can use an example that the Holy Spirit is talking to us.
Right.
So like Paul was talking to Timothy, Brother Duane's talking to you.
Come on.
Oh. Let's read it that way. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word.
Come on.
Do you need another invite? Do you need another invite? Well, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. Oh, well, I show them Jesus through my lifestyle. Okay. Your lifestyle should be backing up what you say.
Right?
It doesn't say don't say anything, just live this life in front of them. That's good. But if You know, that's why when I go someplace, I like to say, well, I'm a pastor, I preach. And pretty soon, you know what they do? They, on the job, they hold me to a whole lot higher accountability than anybody else. Am I right?
Yeah.
They do. Once you tell them that this is what you do, then it's like, well, you can't ever cuss on the job. Now, you can't ever get mad. You can't get angry when you smash your finger. You can't get mad on 95, you know. But the thing of it is that's a place of accountability. I say that and put myself in accountability, okay, and then by the grace of God, I try to live a standard and let my life back up what I'm telling them on the job. Then you get titled, oh, you're the preacher man, or you're this on the job, or you're right. Come on, I know, Rick. And that's a good title to have. I mean, I take that with, and I praise God for that. Because then, guess what? When troubles happen, who do they go to? They don't go to the guy that's cussing and telling you about how he cheated on his wife. He goes to the man that's been walking solemnly and holy, and he says, what do I do in this situation? What do you got?
We got a guy on a job today, he got saved today. He accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Bless God. That's a great testimony, Rick. Every day. My. Strong in spirit. Being strong in spirit. Now, I got 8 keys to being strong in spirit. I'm just trying to lay a foundation. I have a hard time with my foundation. I try to get us to a place where we can receive this, right? Okay. Although we read about Paul and Timothy and the apostles and disciples, and even today we see men and women who we recognize have a strong spirit and are able to overcome in the face of odds that we ourselves would wilt or run from, and we all have those who we know serve God and whose family serve God with fervency, and others that others don't seem to possess. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:12 not to compare ourselves by ourselves. Ah, it's them. I used to do this. Oh, man, I wish I had that anointing. I wish God would do that for me. Oh, that's not me. I'm just going to be humble me. If you see somebody walking in a gifting and anointing, pray for that. Pray for that. I want that. That's in me. I want that manifested in my life. I want to be able to do that. That's not just for them. That's for all of us. Okay. I mean, it really is for all of us. The Corinthian church was a great example. I mean, there were tongues going on, man. Everybody had a word. I mean, it was an exciting place. They had to calm it down. We had to calm the place down. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I had to calm the place down. I mean, I think Pastor would like it one time. Yeah. Just calm down, people. Yeah, you're speaking in tongues, and 3 people were, hey, Pastor, 3 people got the baptism of the Holy Ghost over here. Calm down. Calm down. I got a word. Well, Pete, this guy, he just got healed. He's running around. He's healed. Oh, well, calm down. That'd be a great way to do it, I tell you. And that's because the believers came in and realized who they were. They got saved. It was paid. They understood. I mean, you got to really understand the Jewish people. They, every year, they sacrificed to cover their sins. Every year, they brought a lamb. Every year, they went through this rigmarole to get it done. And when it hit them that Jesus did it for them and they don't have to do this anymore, that they are now not only their sins are covered, but completely removed, they got excited. You couldn't keep them in their seats. These men raised their hands and ran around. They were like David, undressing themselves and just going wild before God. Oh, quiet over here. This is a quiet section over here.
Hallelujah.
Come on. I mean, me and my wife, she keeps saying, why don't we dress up like they do in the football games and come all painted in colors and stuff, just freaked the pastor out one Sunday morning. She's trying to talk me into it. She might not do it, but she knows I will. She would be too. She's the one that'd have to paint me up, but she'll do it. We don't compare ourselves with ourselves. But instead, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. Jesus is our prototype for life and living, not somebody else.
Amen.
Don't ever think, I hear people after church sometimes, man, you get excited, you dance, I like the way you get it. I'm not your prototype. I just do what the Holy Ghost lets me do, and I'm free, and it may seem like I might be freer, more free than you, but don't ever look to any of us as that is where I'm going. Jesus is your prototype. He is, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one, okay? And I'm going to tell you what, and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. So the more you look to Christ, the more you look to Jesus, the author and finisher, the more you're going to realize who you are and the freer you're going to be. Because I'm going to tell you right now, whether you want to believe it or not, you're living according to lies that were told you from the womb till now. The lies that were told you that you heard even in the womb. I mean, we hear about it, okay, about being in the womb and hearing certain things. And they come out, you come out with complexes. You know, there are some people that have babies that say, well, we played music all the time. I was pregnant with this one, and he's into music. I mean, I believe that there's a great application there, and there's some things that are said. Why did you get pregnant? We don't want that baby. We ought to have an abortion. Da, 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 da. And I think the baby picks up on that and has already been, has feelings of neglect because of that environment in which it's being nurtured in. And so in that case, I don't know what my mom and dad talked about while I was in the womb. But I believe, you know, sin is sin, and sin, it comes to us, and we're born in sin, and we have all these shortcomings, and then we're raised by people who have are dysfunctional, and we're raised, and we're lies, and we're put into a school system, and your spirit man is like, well, my parents who love me, that's the best love you know is from your parents. So if they abandon you, you have all this abandonment issues. If they don't abandon you, but they're always fighting, you say, this is not something I want or I like or this is the way it is. And we go home thinking it's that way in everybody's home. And so we really, what we're doing is we're putting into our spirit man lies of what life is really like. And then we go out on our own and we try to make a change, or we say, we'll never do this or do that. But we have these issues. This is us, right? And now we get born again and we're reading the scriptures and we're trying to change that. That's what we're doing. That's why we come to church, to hear a fresh word, to hear a word from God, for it to be established in our spirit man, to replace the lie that we lived by all these years with a truth that sets us free.
Amen.
That's the way it works. And if you're not in the Word reading your Bible, guess what? You're in a losing battle. Because how do we faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. That's why he asks you to show your Bibles. And I'm telling you, just don't wave your Bible because and then we see the dust fly off of it, okay? You know, just because he says, that's what I like to see. Well, I'm going to start bringing my Bible because that's what he likes to see. No, read the thing. Because faith comes, and don't read it silently. I'm telling you right now, don't read it silently. If you're reading your Bible, read it out loud. Why? So you can hear it. You want to be strong in the spirit? You don't want to be not back and forth in waves like this, you know, going up and down all the time? Take some of this advice and apply it. I guarantee it. I listened to Jerry Seville one time. He said, I couldn't pray. I'd get up in the morning, I want to go to pray, I'd fall asleep. So I'd get out of my bed and I'd move out to the couch. And then I'm falling on the couch. And then so I'd move to the other bedroom. Then I'd fall asleep on that bed. I'd go to the bathroom and I'm kneeling over the toilet. I'm praying. Next thing I know, I wake up with my face on the toilet. He says, I finally figured it out. I got in my bathroom and I got up on the edge of the tub. And I stood on the edge of the tub. Fall asleep now, you're going to fall. Son, he says, I stay awake for hours. If that's what it takes, do it. But do it. Otherwise, you're always going to stay weak and emaciated, and you're just never going to go anywhere. You're always going to vacillate between two opinions. And James says, don't expect to receive anything. Bark, 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 bark. Oh, praise God. Out of all the men who lived, Jesus knew total victory over Satan. Jesus is our prototype. The Bible says that Jesus, in Luke 2:52, that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God. If Jesus did it, if he had to grow that way, Jesus, you know, we look at Jesus, well, how, you know, like Pastor said all the time, well, he was God. Well, no, it just wasn't, you know, put in his brain that he had to learn the scriptures. He had to read them. Joseph and Mary had to teach him. They had to take him to the synagogue. He had to learn. He had to grow. He was fully God, but he was fully man. Our expectation should be that we would have such a strength as believers that the devil would run from us. But we'd better be growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. I'm talking relationship here. Yeah. I'm not talking formulas as far as, like, I'm going to have 8 keys to being strong in the Spirit, but don't write down those 8 keys and say, okay, Pastor, I've done these. Now I'm in line for all the blessings of them, because it's not going to come outside of a relationship. Yeah. It's not going to come out of a list of do's and don'ts. It's a relationship thing, not a law thing. There's spiritual laws and spiritual principles that we apply, and they benefit. But guess what? It rains on the just and the unjust. There's a lot of people out there that apply the gift of giving and serving and helping, and it's benefited them, and they're not born again. But that spiritual law works. You who are evil, who know how to give good gifts to your children. Okay, there's evil people out there who know how to do good things. And good things happen to them as a result of doing good things, because it's a spiritual law. But that doesn't mean they're going to heaven. When you get down to it, see, this is the whole thing is, and guess what? All this is being strong in the Spirit isn't so that you can have a boat and a 3-story home and extra land in Tennessee. This is so we can establish the kingdom. Why? Because that's what we're going to end up doing, is living in the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's about getting the lost saved. It's about bringing those that God has made and created and called to himself. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we can go to people and tell them your sins aren't being counted against you anymore in Christ. That's what it's all about. And along on that trip and on that road, and I'll tell you, it's a blessed street too, to get people saved, to have the ability to say your sins are gone. I mean, to be able to pronounce that over somebody and say you're born again and all your sins have been washed away as if you never did them. What a great thing to be able to tell somebody. And along that, you can have a boat. Take them out on the boat. Show them kindness and goodness. Let's look at Acts. This is my introduction. It is a good one. I'm not even going to get to the keys here. What did I say, Acts? Let's go to Acts 19. Verse 11 through 16. And God was performing extraordinary miracles. Now, when you read this now, you know, I'm going to tell you something here, but I read this, this is good. This is like, hey, I can do this. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Extraordinary. Come on now. We're praying for miracles, and here Paul's doing extraordinary miracles. Yeah, I mean, let's have some ordinary. What's ordinary versus extraordinary? And this is where I think where he anoints handkerchiefs, right? Isn't this where he does this? And you know what? If you can't get to someone, I've done this. I can't get to them. And they want me to, but I can't get there. So I say, well, let me anoint this. And I anoint some cloths and take this to them. Put it under their pillow. Put it under their pillow. Don't, you know, well, my child, he's in the hot, I can't get there. Do this. So that handkerchiefs and or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul. But who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, subdued them all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You ain't going to do this outside of a relationship. Why? Because your enemy knows it. He knows you're speaking this thing and you're living this thing and you really don't believe in the power. That you're tithing because you were told that you're going to get something back, and that's the only reason you tithe.
Uh-oh.
Come on now. That's the only reason you tithe.
Come on.
I'll try it. The pastor says to try it, and that's what we hear, right? The pastor's telling you that he knows your heart and you should give out of a heart of giving, and you've been compelled by the Holy Ghost to give, and the amount you gave, and if you want to start someplace, start with tithing, but if you're going to give by grace, man, you got to give it all. Because he gave it all, okay? So, but then all we hear is, well, if I give, I get. If I give, I get. That's carnal thinking. If I give, I get. And then the devil comes in, he beats you up in your finances, and he sends you away naked and wounded, and then you know what you say? This doesn't work.
Come on.
And what you started out to do, you dwindle out never doing again, or not doing it for a while. Till you get a rhema word from God that you need to start, or the understanding, and you grow strong in spirit, and then you give. You know why I give? Because he told me to. Is there a blessing from it? Yes, there is, but I don't do it to get the blessing. I do it because he told me to. If you love me, obey me. Whew. Quiet in here. Tithing. When I pastored Jubilee, they said, Pastor, you talk about tithing too much. And I didn't give messages on tithing. I used tithing as an example. I always use tithing as an example. Because really, when it comes down to it, and you say you're a believer, and you're not tithing, or you're not giving, and you're not sharing, and you're not doing those things, yet you say you're a believer, that you really believe he's Jehovah Jireh, you're only fooling yourself. Because your heart's tied to your wallet. I guarantee it, it's tied to your wallet. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I just go into the kingdom. Oh, there I am. Boy, I got a sack of money waiting for me. I want some of that. I'm bringing that, Lord. I need that today. Why? Because I want to bless these people.
Come on.
My. So he sends them away. Now, look at this. I wrote down here. This they didn't know Jesus. It's in the name that Paul preaches. And the enemy knows you don't know him. You're not walking in authority and power. You're wishing and washing and hoping. You're hoping I'll obey you. And then he beats them up. What does it say here? It says here that they fled out. We try to hide ourselves from God. We try to run away. When the enemy starts to rise up, we run. We hide. Send them out naked, walking in shame. We can't be beat up by the enemy anymore and run from God and walk in shame. There's no shame. There should be no shame. And guess what? Okay, so you made a mistake today. Big deal. Look now forward, let be backwards. Put it under the blood. Why? Because it was paid for 2,000 years ago. And even though you're looking at what you did today, he doesn't know.
Come on.
It's not you. It isn't. Really, this is the truth. Okay, we make mistakes every day. Get over it. Get over it and go on with God, because the enemy wants you to camp there and he wants to build a whole theology around it where you don't do nothing.
Right.
He's putting you back in prison and locking you up so you keep your mouth shut because you cussed somebody out today. Get over it. Ask for forgiveness. Get it under the blood. And if you have to go to that person and ask for them and be at their mercy till you make it right with them, then do that. Because guess what? Then there's nothing against you. No matter what they say, you could say, yep, but I made it right. I made myself available to make it right because I'm compelled by the Holy Ghost to make it right. I made a mistake. Big deal. Get over it.
Come on.
Why? Because he's going to stop you from being powerful from this point on, because it's going to take you another year and a half to get over the fact that you didn't do your wife right, or you did something wrong, or he's going to get you to camp there where you're ineffective.
Come on.
And you're not strong in spirit if that happens.
Devil's
got you in his back pocket, and he just lets you do what you want for a while, and then he throws shame and guilt on you. Sends you away naked and shameful and wounded. You're wounded? Get over it. Believe me, this is a big one for me, because when I got hurt by pastors, when I got hurt by those leaders in front of me, I ran away. I said, they ain't got the right to do that to me. No, they don't have the right. I have a rights. I do have rights. Yeah, you got the right to give up your rights, because you were bought with a price and you're not your own anymore. Get over it. Quit being offended. Find something else to do. I'll tell you what, you can't be offended if you're a servant. If you're a servant and you got a servant's heart, you can't be offended, because servants, they're just supposed to do what they're told to do. And they know, a servant, you go back into slavery, and the slaves, they knew it. I'm a slave. This is what I'm expected to do. I ain't mad at my master for being mad at me because I didn't do it. I was supposed to do it. I didn't do it. That was a lifestyle. When you're a servant, you're a servant. And it's like, I can sing on the praise team. I can't sing on the praise team. I can play a musician. I can. I'm an altar worker. To this week, I'm not an altar worker. It's all for your development and growth. If you're a servant, it doesn't matter what you do. And then when you realize that God has called you and you're a servant to all mankind, love God, serve man.
Yeah.
You can't, don't be offended. This is good. I'm going to tell you, it'll free you. It'll free you to where, now watch it, if you're free, now God can start putting things in you and developing you the way he wants you, and next thing you know, there's an anointing on you. Why? Because you're not living according to the lies the enemy has pinned you down with, and put you back into bondage. If you're coming saying, well, boy, if he does this again, I'm going to be offended, you're already in chains. The Holy Ghost can't work in your life. You're one of those that sit in the back and won't raise your hands, or you won't get free. You won't. And believe me, I mean, we pastor, and if you've been in this kind of position before, we we're four people, but we know that. We see that. The Holy Ghost shows us this person's bound up. Bound up, and I can look by the looks on their faces, there's unforgiveness, there's doubt, there's unbelief. You start walking in the anointing, you have discernment that there's marital problems, that, you know, there's financial problems, and then you greet the people and you talk with them for the first time and you realize, whoa, man, feel the luggage this guy's carrying. And then you try to have to ask the Holy Ghost, where do I take this conversation so that either I can get away from it and not be, come on now, it happens. Or how can I help this person and move them on to the next place and get them to stay here at Grace so we can get them free so that they can start serving God the way they're supposed to? Because not only do we see the baggage that's no good, we also see giftings. Come on now. I'm talking about being strong in spirit. It's time to move on to being strong in spirit. Guess what? You won't care if you're on the praise and worship team, if you're raising the dead. You will not care. All you want to do is get to a service where there's dead people. And I guess what? After you raise the dead, everybody's going to be singing on the praise team. Everybody's going to be dancing a jig. You ever been to the service where they start, you know, someone comes up and all of a sudden there's a demon manifesting? Guess what? Everybody in the back starts to come up from it because they want to see it. Everybody. When you start raising the dead and casting out demons, everybody's on the front row. I just start off on the front row. My. Now if I can do my teaching as good as I do my introduction. God expects us to be strong. God expects us to be strong. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Yep.
Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Are you being beat up by God? By the devil? Submit yourself to God. Why? Because when you submit yourself to God, the Holy Spirit tells you how to resist the devil. You resist the devil by the word. If Jesus defeated the devil by the word, you're not going to do it by sweet talking. You're going to do it by the word. Yeah, that's right. Under my feet. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Now, I read the whole scripture, but the idea is resist him. Be strong in spirit. Resist him. Don't coddle him. You know, the muddy dog, if you open up your door and there's a muddy dog in the neighborhood, he's muddy, and you open your door because you hear something, and I just, you know, this muddy dog comes running in your house, and I mean a muddy dog. I'm not talking, I mean a muddy dog. You've seen a dog when he goes out and gets in the mud and then he shakes like this. Mud goes everywhere. Okay? And a muddy dog comes into your house, you don't go, oh, okay. Well, he's on the couch. And you go back to watching TV. You get the stick.
Come on.
You get the broom. First of all, this ain't your dog. I don't even let dogs on my property. I am not a pet person. I don't let cats or dogs on my property. Too many times I've gone out in my yard and I've been barefooted because I don't have an animal. I can walk freely in my yard, and next thing I know, I'm stepping in something I don't want to step in, and it ain't my dog. I'm mad. I find out whose dog that is. Before I was born again, the guy used to do that. He used to let his dog do that in front of my property. I went out with a shovel, picked it up, walked back to his house, threw it up on his front door. That's not my dog. But don't, I mean, and it squeezes, it's bad, but it squeezes up between your toes. And next thing you know, you're walking like this and you got to go to the hose. Or you don't realize you stepped in, it hit the corner of your foot and you track it through the house. And then you wonder why, what's that smell? And your wife goes, what's the matter with you? Come on now. The muddy dog's in your house. You don't let and entertain him. You get a stick and you beat that thing till he gets out. Yet we let the devil come into our lives with shame and guilt and all these things. And we entertain him. And then we try to build a theology around it. Well, I guess that's my lot in life. Lord, if it be your will, devil, dog, get out of my house. I guess it ain't. Devil's going to tell you it ain't his will. He's going to stay as long as he can. Aiden, comfort to the end. I love it. I can turn this over to you right now. I can turn this over to you right now. Praise God. There is a promise here with expectation that if we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from us in just the same way he fled from Jesus. There's an understanding here that there is a need to firmly stand and recognize that we are not any different from our brothers elsewhere in the world. If they're casting out demons in Africa, boy, we can do it here. If they're raising the dead in Africa, we can do it here. This is the whole thing about Todd Bentley. Unfortunately, he fell from whatever he fell from, and he did what he did. But what he was doing in Lakeland, people were getting healed. I mean, they were raising the dead. There was a girl, I was at a service, and right outside, a girl was crossing the street, got hit by a car. And they were pronouncing her dead. And people that were coming to the revival went out and laid hands on her, and she rose from the dead. There were 17 confirmed raisings from the dead during that revival in Lakeland. Lakeland. Well, it started off in another little town there, and then it went to Lakeland. And then we look at that, and we say, oh, well, Todd Bentley did that. That must not have been from God. That was all off, and the structure was this and that. Nobody was accountable, blah, 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 blah. And then we quickly just, we want to not be connected with it anymore. But what we do is we shy away from supernatural workings that God wants to do, extraordinary miracles. Yeah, throw out the baby with the water. That's right. Don't throw the baby out with the water. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And he is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. I read it once, one way this way. He will either make a way for you to escape or give you the grace to bear it up. But what's the expectation? What's the connotation here? Is that you won't fail. That you'll be strong in spirit. That you won't be moved by the enemy to do something wrong. To move into doubt and unbelief and then waver and not expect to get anything. The thing of it is we waver between two opinions and we still expect to receive something from God. And what he's saying is because we're not even smart enough not to expect. He says, don't expect. We're not even smart enough to be there. We still expect. And what he's telling you is you won't get anything. You can't be of two opinions and get it. Either I'm rich in Christ and I'm strong in Christ or I'm not. And so then what we do is we live our Christian walk by our feelings. So when we feel strong, we think we're strong. And we come to church that way, according to our feelings. I come to church because God's going to be here and he's going to say something through the prophet that's speaking and he's through Sister Cindy when she starts to speak, because that's a move of the Holy Ghost, and I get excited when he starts to move. And if you, and I'm telling you, if you're in the Spirit and you stand up and got a word, I'm excited to hear something that God wants me to know. Because I'm going to change that day from glory to glory. Church will be different from you. Church will be different for you from now on. If you're, see, we don't want to fill the churches with weak spirited people. We want to be strong in spirit. Can you imagine? I mean, this place is going to be full.
Come on,
amen.
But it's going to be full, but there's going to be some strong people.
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
And that corporate anointing, boy, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to see some things.
Come on.
I mean, I've been involved in some services where we see some things.
Yeah. Come on.
We ain't, you haven't seen it. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard what's in store for us here at Grace. And it's going to come with strong people, strong spirited people. And guess what? See, this is not just a physical realm, it's a spiritual realm. So when you come to church by your feelings, everybody else that comes to church by their feelings start to hook up, and next thing you know, the feelings is what's got the atmosphere and not the Spirit of God. Come on, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And when the strong in spirit start coming and they start unifying, then what happens is the activity of the angels and what God wants to be done overtakes the enemy. Because don't think, see, we come to church saying, well, if God's going to do something, he's just going to do it. No. He's waiting for someone to press in. He's waiting for someone to be strong in spirit. He's waiting for two to come together and agree. Because how can we, if we don't agree, how can we run together? How can we accomplish what God wants to do here if we're not all going to be strong in spirit, if we're all going to stay weak and emaciated?
Come on.
This is a mindset that we have to begin to think this way. And I'm not saying you need to arrive. I mean, like, I'm hoping. I mean, I'm believing. I mean, I'm hoping you go home and the Holy Spirit give you a dream, or next thing you know, you wake up and there's a glow about you. And you, I mean, I want that. I want every bit of that. I want you to go home. I want you thinking right now that, you know, he's talking about me. I'm changing from this moment on. Because I'm going to read some things in here. It's not something that you've got to wait for. It's something he expects us to walk in now. Because it's done now. It was done 2,000 years ago. And he had you in mind when he did it. He's already set you up. Praise God. Wait a minute. I like it. Little jingle. Yeah, you should see what's in here dancing. And I'm doing back. So every Sunday I see myself come up here and doing a backflip off this thing. My God. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. There's a need for us to see that in the face of pressure we are to resist, and that God does not expect us to succumb to the attempts of the devil to destabilize us in the way. Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let me give you a little picture here. The shield of faith, it was a shield that they made, and they covered it with leather, and then they soaked it with water. So when the arrows hit it, the wet leather would put out the arrow. Now, it's one thing to be able to hold up a shield. It's another thing to be able to hold up a shield covered with leather. But boy, I'll tell you what, you got to be strong in spirit to hold up a shield covered with leather soaked with water.
Come on.
We're talking strong in spirit. Then when the enemy starts going like this, and guess what? He's going to attack your finances. He's going to attack your children. Let me tell you, that's a big one for me and my family, because my family's been called in the ministry, and my kids ain't got it in their head yet. And when he wants to get at me, he attacks me through my children, and he tries to shut my ministry down every time. Every time he tries to shut it down, because he can get at us through our children. And he starts throwing those fiery darts at us. And I just pick up that shield of faith. Why? Because I've been made strong in the Spirit. I'm called, set apart, anointed, and appointed for a ministry and a calling that the enemy, you can't take it away from me. Come on, that's the water of the Word soaking in the shield. Exactly. God's expectation is that we will be strong now and not at some later date. Daniel 10:19. Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed, he said. Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. Quote that every day. Quote that every day. Speak to me, Lord, because you've spoken to me and I've been made strong. Now I'm strong. I'm not going to be strong when I see, that's not faith. When the trial's got done and gone, oh, now I have faith for it. No. And we quote the word at the enemy. Quote the word at him. Defeat him with the word. I'm strong. I'm rich. Let the weak say they're strong. Let the poor say they're rich. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what my bank account says. God, you could drop it into my lap today. That job's coming. That promotion's coming. That healing is mine. I'm going in. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna press in and I'm going to get into the kingdom because I've been given the ability to enter the kingdom and see the kingdom for what's mine, and I'm taking it. That's why that scripture says the kingdom of God is always forcefully advancing. God's always going forward. The pastor had that word, we're going forward, 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 forward. And forceful men and women, strong in spirit, lay hold of it.
Come on.
It's like a train going by, man. Reach out and grab that thing. Boom. You know what? It'd take a pretty strong man to reach out and grab a train, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But that's the implication you can do. I'm going. I'm out of here. You coming with me? Yes, sir, Lord.
All aboard.
And guess what? The Holy Ghost will make sure your arm ain't pulled out of the socket. Next thing you know, you'll be running right along that train. I can run through a wall, run through a troop and leap over a wall. I mean, that's what the scriptures say. I mean, if God be for you, who could be against you? Daniel 11:32, with flattery he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And you know what? You're going to have to say to yourselves, well, that ain't me. Not yet. If that's not you, if you have a problem in that area, you need to start speaking to that area. Well, wait a minute. I don't have to go through another year and a half of Wednesday night teachings from Pastor to be that. Pastor Dwayne's telling me that's mine now.
Yeah.
Well, if that's mine now, I claim that.
Yeah.
I say yes to that. Yes and amen.
Yeah.
See, all the promises of God are yes,
and
the amen is spoken by the saints.
That's it.
And what does amen mean?
So
let it be so.
That's it.
So the promise of health and healing and finances are yes in God. And I'm going to say yes to it.
Yeah.
It's mine.
Yeah.
I'm strong.
Right.
Start walking around like this. I used to say in my church, I said, you know, underneath this suit, I got a cape. I'm a super Christian man. I can fly. I can. I believe it. There's nothing that he would not give me a way of escape or the... I can bear it up. I can go. I'm faster than a bullet, stronger than a train. Superman ain't got nothing on me. Praise God. Isaiah 25:3. Therefore, strong people will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. God is not giving us a long-term goal of strength, but rather one that applies in the current situation. It's not a long-term goal. There's a situation in your life right now. The Holy Ghost is telling me there's situations in your life right now, and you can overcome them right now. The battle's won in the spirit. It's won in the mind. It's won in the spirit, and it's manifested in the physical.
Yes.
And you're looking at that surmountable mountain. And here's what we do. We talk to God about our mountain. God, what about this mountain? And he didn't tell us to talk to him about the mountain. He told us, speak to the mountain. Say to the mountain. Don't say to me about the mountain. I know about the mountain. I'm waiting for you to stand up in who you are and take authority over the mountain. Tell that thing to be gone, picked up and cast into the sea. That insurmountable problem right now can be gone tonight in the spirit realm, and you will begin to see the manifestation either tonight or tomorrow. Expect it. See, that was the word, expectation. Prepare for expectancy. God, I got so excited when Pastor Cindy said that. Prepare. I just got expectant. But she said prepare. You know, I know a woman that wanted a car. She bought a house with a garage. She bought oil. She bought all the things you need for, because she didn't have a car, but she bought a house with a garage, so she knew, she expected a car. She prepared for a car. She got a car. Seems simple enough, right? God wants us to be strong while we have the advantage of youth and physical strength. We should reach a stage where we can know we are strong in the Lord. Joshua 14. What time does service go on Wednesday? Whenever. Don't do that to me. Oh, man. Is that all of my introduction? Oh, okay. Well, praise God. Caleb, Joshua 14, 10 through 11. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved out about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and battle now as I was then. Caleb is not here being arrogant, but recognizing that he has strength that has been with him throughout the vigorous and effective years of life. He did not see a gradual decline in strength, but rather saw a steady and consistent manifestation of the strength of God. Amen. You know, I tell people, if you don't know God, you can. And if you do know him, you can know him better. Same application. If you're strong, guess what? You can be stronger. Old age is no excuse for spiritual weakness. 2 Samuel 3:1. The war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. David here is seen as one who went from position of strength to another and continued to press the enemy into a position of disadvantage. See, here's what happens. We live in a society that's instant. I can go get a McDonald's, Wendy's, I can get pizza, I can do all kinds of things. Instant. We're just instant gratification. Instant gratification. So when we begin to pray about something that's a problem, we expect, and guess what? I want you to expect suddenly, but when we don't get it suddenly, then we begin to go into, well, I guess I'm not supposed to have it. Then we move into doubt and unbelief, and now we're not going to get it. Come on. And David, even though, he went from strength to strength. If it's not happening, press in, press in. Ask, knock, seek, press in, press in. Build up strength, build it up, build it up. Get a force going, get it up, get it going, get it going. Today's the day, today's the day, today's the day, today's the day. Press in, press in, press in. Don't let the enemy, he's a liar. Tell him he's a liar. Tell him to get out. Tell him to get out of your thoughts, get out of your thinking, get out of, to recognize that lie, replace it with the truth. And walk on that. Pressure on us is no excuse for us to get weaker. God says, in fact, that if we are to please God, we must agree with what God says about ourselves. Joel 3:10. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weakling say, I am strong. A lot in the Bible about saying. And I think it has to do with faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. And when God says something, we say that. And because we hear that, faith begins to rise up. I'll tell you what, I'm back. And maybe it's because I've pastored for 12 years and I hear pastors say certain things, okay, that I get excited about because I pastored. And I know maybe sometimes it was hard for me as a parishioner too, so I realize there's a hardness there sometimes. But, you know, we're always being pressured. Well, you talk about money too much. Well, guess what? I want faith to rise up in the house about money. If I don't speak about money and they don't hear about money, how can faith arise about money? How can it? If we tie the pastor's hands because we're offended, and you know what? The Bible says is that the gospel is offensive to those who are perishing. So if you're not tithing, a message on tithing is offensive. It really is. You're mad. The minute he starts talking about giving and tithing, you're upset and mad because he's talking about money again. It's probably because you're not tithing. But boy, I'll tell you what, if you're tithing and giving and blessings are coming, and he starts talking about tithing and giving, you start to get a little excited. I'm going to get another blessing here. Why? Because it's not offensive to you anymore. You're not perishing in that area. I'll tell you what, if you're perishing in your marriage and you hear someone, you go to one of Rick's classes and he starts talking about how being a man of God and treating your wife, you get offended. Well, bro, that's you. You don't know my situation. I'm offended you'd even say that to me. Well, that must mean you're perishing in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And the devil beats you up and you're going away naked and offended. Come on. Does this make sense? Because you know what? It's all about getting you all, everybody, even myself. And this is what accountability is. Because you know what I'm accountable to tomorrow when I go to work? Everything I preach tonight. That's why when he told Timothy to preach, that's why I tell you, preach. Start preaching. Just start preaching to somebody. Find somebody and preach to them. If they don't come to your church, maybe they'll go to another church, but they'll go to church. But preach. Why? Because then you realize, well, man, I don't like, man, that ain't sounded the way Pastor said. I think I got that wrong. Well, I'll find another guinea pig and I'll preach to them. You know what I did when I first got saved? I mean, I got saved on a Friday night. Saturday, I was on the job. I was telling people I got born again and saved, and I had a little Bible with me. And they started laughing. My brother was laughing at me. Everybody was laughing at me, cussing, and all kinds of things. And it was going on. At lunchtime, I opened up my little Bible. Now, I just got saved Friday night. Saturday, I got this little paperback Bible. And I'm reading in Corinthians. I think it was I was reading in Corinthians. And they were asking me all kinds of questions, stupid questions. How many women can you have in heaven? I mean, they heard somewhere along the line you can have spiritual women in heaven. Mormons, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, that's that other one. And I said, well, I don't know, but listen to this. And I read a paragraph. Well, guess what? They instantly thought I knew everything about the Bible. Because then after I read that to him, and I just heard it for the first time myself. But I thought it was cool, okay, because the Holy Ghost was telling me that was cool, okay. Then they start, well, then if that's the case, what about this? What about that? I don't know. But listen to this, and I would read another paragraph. And they literally thought I knew everything about the Bible overnight. My brother would call me up and ask me questions because I was born again and I knew everything. Start preaching. You find out they'll start asking you questions. Give the reason for the hope that you have, and they'll start asking you questions. And guess what? You may have to dig in the Word to find the answer. I'll get back to you on that.
There you go.
And then pretty soon it starts to roll off your tongue, and you go, and I guarantee you there'll be a day that you say, I don't know how it happened, but I'm telling you, sweetheart, everything rolled off my tongue as if Pastor was preaching it, and that person was all excited, and tears were in their eyes, and next thing I know, they were getting born again. Hallelujah. Best day of my life. And next thing you know, you say, I got to have another day like that. I got to have another. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read off the 8 keys to strong in spirit, and next week we're going to get into that. Number 1 will be the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Number 2 will be renewing your mind. Number 3 is walk by faith, not by sight. Number 4 is choosing God's principles instead of pleasing the flesh. Number 5, personal obedience to God's word. You ever hear a message and you say, oh, that's good for brother so-and-so? Personal obedience to God's word. Number 6, having God's word in your mouth. Number 7, having a practice of personal prayer. Number 8, keeping company with strong people. Father, I thank you for tonight. Holy Ghost, we're strong because of you. And our focus is on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy of the cross, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Father, these people are strong. In Jesus' name. Father, right now I pray for that person or persons that have a surmountable mountain. And y'all can agree with me. This is where y'all can agree with me. It could be you. It could be the person sitting next to you. We all agree in Jesus' name. We speak to that mountain with a corporate anointing. And we tell that thing to be gone in Jesus' name. Father, I speak health and healing right now over every body. Every bone, every blood cell, skin, rashes, Father, right now in Jesus' name, heart, livers, lungs. I speak to any addictions right now. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you strength. I speak to marriages right now. Awake and be alive in God. A renewing of the marriages, a renewing of the vows, a renewing of the relationship, a renewing of communications, intimacy, openness, freedom with one another in Jesus' name. I speak to jobs right now. Increase. I love the word for the church. Increase, 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 increase in property, increase in finances, increase, promotions, raises, jobs where there is no job, a new job that takes you, if the boss isn't treating them right, take them to the new place. Shabaka siyalabaka shandoboko shiyalata. Thank you, Father. Father, I speak over our pastors right now. Strength. Strength for the vision. Strength for the calling. Strength for the word. Strength for the purpose. Strength for the movement. Strength to the new place that they're taking us. Strength, oh God. Strength in their family. Unity. Provision, Father. Provision abundantly above and beyond what you could think or ask. Provision. Freedom. In Jesus' name. Freedom to move in their giftings and their callings the way you'd have them go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. That's fine. Key number four, choosing God's principles instead of pleasing the flesh. That's a good one, but it starts in the mind. The Bible says this, I pray that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. Now your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Okay? And when we begin to renew our mind and our will, and we take our emotions under control, okay? When our soul begins to prosper, our body will follow. Did you know that? Happens in the spirit realm. Your spirit man's already made whole. Your spirit man's perfect. Your spirit man's rich, healthy, whole, walking in glory, doing all kinds of crazy, extraordinary miracles. Okay, but your soul, you have right, you have spirit man, soul, and the body, right? It's the tent we live in. So when your soul begins to line up with who your spirit man is, your body follows. When you renew your mind and you become to know the true knowledge of Jesus Christ and who He is in your life, then your body begins to follow. Come on now. Your body will start walking in health and healing. Why? Because your mind's been renewed and you're claiming those things and speaking those things, okay? And your emotions, you're not controlled by your emotions, although emotions are good. I mean, you know, you can. So anyway, we'll go on. Praise God. I'm done. Come on. You got that mic? Is that working there?
Praise the Lord. While Brother Dwayne was ministering, I kept getting this word in my spirit, and the word is this, forerunners. Now, I don't know. I'm going to have to do some research on this word.
Vanguard?
Vanguard,
the forerunners. A vanguard is a forerunner. The Marines are forerunners. That's who the Marines are. They're called the vanguard. They go before. They run.
Okay, well, this is in line with the word that came, because as I meditated on it, this is what the Lord gave me. Those who are strong in spirit shall be as forerunners in the race I have called this body to run. Mm. One by one, as you hear the call, lining up at the starting line. I had a vision of all of you here today, and it was like at a race, and there's a starting line. And you were coming as you were responding to the call. You were lining up at the starting line. Running hard, running fast, toward God, toward the prize, toward your purpose, running with fervor and passion, giving your all, focused, desiring to win, expecting to win.
Yes.
Not looking back, putting one foot in front of the other, heart pounding, expending energy, burning off fat, growing lean, growing fit, growing closer. And as you do this, others will follow. Forerunners. That is what I've called you to be. Forerunners. This is the word of the Lord to this
people. It is a great word.
This Wednesday night group of people.
Yes.